We're going to be talking to Shane Cricker. Good to have you with us. You are a member of Panda. Now,
that's right.
Panda got into trouble this last week. We were reported to the Press Council by a Professor Boule, who is objecting to the fact that we published our Onbiz News articles that you sent us. Well, to start off with, he said we took them off Twitter, which is nonsense. The Panda people sent them, and in fact, I think specifically wrote them for us, then distributed elsewhere. And then secondly, he's saying that we should not be publishing anything from you guys because Panda have no legitimacy. Let's understand a little bit about this. We did ask Professor Boule to talk to us. He says, no, he wants to go to the Press Council first. By the way, he says that he doesn't want us even to be talking with you. He says that we should not be publishing anything that you produce. But who is Panda?
So Panda is a group of concerned individuals, basically. It started right at the beginning, even before lockdown, where a couple of us had been communicating with each other about the risks that COVID-19 posed. And this paper came out on the Diamond Princess. I don't know if you remember, it was a cruise ship where there was an infection that was running rife on the cruise ship and they couldn't find anywhere to dock. And to us, it seemed like that was the perfect petri dish for this virus to play itself out. And when we saw the results of what had happened on that boat, the couple of us who were talking said, okay, well, this isn't a problem then. Somewhere between 10 and 20% of the people who were on the ship constantly being exposed to the virus had actually got it. And old people aside, that seemed to have a relatively muted effect. And so we sort of said, okay, well, then everything's all right. Let's carry on with our days. And then we started talking about lockdown in South Africa, and there were models being put out of the first one was 351,000 people in South Africa were going to die. That at the time was more than the total number of people who had died in the world. And so we sort of put Panda together and said, look, what our first objective at that time was to say, there's a trade-off for every policy that you have. And it doesn't seem like anyone is talking about what the impact of lockdown is. So how can you say that lockdown is a good policy unless you understand what the effect of that policy is? My job as the lawyer in the group was to try and keep everyone on side, which I seem to have partially not succeeded in, Alec. But we've got a lot of doctors. So we've got a couple of doctors who are in Panda. There's some actuaries, some engineers, some specialist data scientists, and then a bunch of people who are helping out on admin and running websites and everything. I mean, this is all stuff that's happening in our spare time. All of us have day jobs, of course. That's who Panda is.
And what's your agenda in the complaint to the Press Council? Professor Boule says that we are following your agenda or an agenda.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, whenever an organization is criticized, you should see how what they're being criticized for. So the complaint is about an article which raises a number of specific issues with what was said. For example, the rationale for the drop down in deaths in the Western Cape. You know, why is Professor Bull saying those things? We attack this. He doesn't respond to any of those. He starts saying, well, you're not qualified, you're mean, these kinds of things. I think that's perhaps the most interesting thing about this process is just this lack of focus on the substance and focusing on other bits of how we say things rather than what we're saying. So, I mean, look, I think the tone is difficult to manage in these things because I think what's important to understand is that these models are right at the fulcrum of lockdown. The other day, watching the president, you know, I was sitting there watching the president and he's telling me how with immediate effect, a whole bunch of my rights are going to be removed. You know, that I'm going to have a military enforced lockdown, curfews, you know, there's going to be a military curfew. You can't visit your family. A whole bunch of businesses can't ply their trade. All of these really draconian things are being enforced on us with immediate effect. I grew up with stories of my great aunt Molly, who was locked down in her house from time to time by the apartheid government. That was not something that I signed up for in 1994, that those rights could be removed arbitrarily hours before it happened. And how is this being justified? There's a figure that's flashing across the bottom of the screen of 50,000 deaths, which is what our president is relying on. And if there are modelers who are participating in the creation of these inflated numbers, not numbers that are truthful, then they are right at the center of the lockdown being imposed and the lockdown being maintained. And so a lot of the scientists and data and analysts and people who work with Panda get very upset about that. And the idea that this article is the entire iceberg is also, this is the tip of the iceberg in terms of our engagement with the modelers and our attempts to get them to respond to us and to give us some rational reasons for why they're there. So it boiled up, but I think that we're justified in saying that this is an important issue. Freedoms are being denied to South Africans that were hard fought for on the basis of these models, and they need to be justified.
Shane, we've got a number of questions. It comes from Gavin Sergi, who says, part of the annoyance from academics, i.e. Andrew Boulay, with PANDA is that the scientific community have invited them to join the consortium on modeling, and they've rejected joining the national consortium. They have tried to engage, and PANDA have turned their backs.
I'm not aware of us being asked to. We participated in the initial consortium, in the initial meeting with Professor Mkhize, and at that meeting, we said, these are our concerns, and could somebody respond to them? I'm not aware of us being, of any offer being made since then. The one interesting criticism we've had is, well, why don't you also model? Because, you know, modeling is difficult, and if you don't put your own model out there and admit that it's difficult, then you shouldn't be saying anything at all. I don't see any issue with saying that, for example, a complex theory of gravity doesn't tie in with what I see when I throw a stone out the window. If somebody comes along to me and says, this is what gravity is about, and I say, yeah, but every time I throw a stone out the window, it hits the ground. That's effectively what PANDA was saying. We were saying, we understand your SEIR models and all of these things, but if we look at what's happening in all of the other countries who have been through this peak and down the other side, and we apply that data to South Africa, so taking into account the differences in our age, for example, just age, let's just look at age, then we can't see how you can justify a figure of anything more than about 10,000, give or take 20%. I don't see why the answer to that is, well, unless you go and develop an SEIR model, then you're wrong. Michael Levitt, who's a Nobel Prize-winning scientist, has a very similar way of going about this to what PANDA has. In fact, the same way of going about it to what PANDA has. So why don't you just take his model and refute it? No, we certainly haven't been invited to be part of the modeling discussion. We've been trying to get, we've brought PIA application after PIA application to get access to those models. And certainly if we had been brought into the fold of the modeling consortium, we wouldn't have needed to do that.
Yeah, it does sound a little strange. Certainly every time I've spoken with your colleagues, Peter Castledon or Nick Hudson, they've said they really just want to engage and they want to find out what the models are. Professor Michael Levitt, by the way, is a South African Nobel Prize winner, as you say, our only living scientist. And we have interviewed him on BizNews before. I was looking forward to interviewing him again, but he's now so famous and the rest of the world is chunking up so much of his time. He says he's doing no more interviews, but he will talk to us again in due course. I look forward to that opportunity. Timothy Cornish says, has anything changed in PANDA modeling that predicts only 10,000 deaths?
Yeah, so look, we haven't predicted 10,000 deaths as such. We put out references to the models, so that the same kind of model that Levitt has suggested. But no, we haven't changed anything in that forecast since it was first put out in May, I think. Interestingly, because the models that we're criticizing have moved from a figure of 351,000 down to, you know, some of them are 50, others are sort of 25,000, 30,000. I mean, those are significant moves.
David Shapiro, just come back a minute, because I'd love to get your view from an economic perspective, or certainly from someone who's watching the real economy. If you start off with a pandemic that's going to have 350,000 deaths, then as a government or someone who's making decisions, that's going to presumably shape your calls. Then if it goes down to 50,000, it'll also shape your calls again. If it's actually going to end up around 10,000, which PANDA is suggesting, and certainly Shane is telling us now, then there'd be a very different approach, one would think.
I think at this stage, we're probably positioned for 350,000 deaths, the way that we've closed down the economy and the way that we're carrying on. You have no idea what's happened. Don't look at the stock market. The stock market is distorted. The stock market is forecasting what's happened to process and LastPass, what's happening in Europe, technology, what's also happening in the mining markets, which are reflecting the Chinese economy, not the local economy. If you go down to the local economy, it's appalling. And the results that we're getting out are pointing in that way. And I don't see any change. If anything, I see things getting worse. And also anecdotally, if you walk around the malls, or if you walk around, I went through to Melrose Arch yesterday, it's death. This will not come back. You know, when I say it won't come back, the restaurants that are closed will be down for a long time. The landlords who own those premises are going to be even harder hit. The businesses, likewise, are going to find it very difficult. So we're positioned for a very, very poor situation. And if things were going to turn out differently, of course, I think confidence would return. And so we would see, you know, spending return. At the moment, I think people are holding on to their savings, very, very, whatever money they have got, very nervous to let go. So in my mind, we're positioned for a far worse outcome than Panda are talking about.
Thanks for giving us that, David. Shane, clearly then, from what David is saying, we somehow need to restructure or rethink or reset if this economy is not going to be completely decimated. The numbers that we saw from other researchers said that South Africa will lose 3 million jobs, which already one of the highest unemployment rates in the world means we're going to get even worse. What are you guys, or how are you guys getting your message through?
Look, I think that the first thing that we need to do is to end this lockdown. That's important. There are a bunch of messages that we're trying to get through at the same time. I mean, I think we've shifted to try and end this fear. I think that's an important part, is to give people facts so that you don't have to be scared. You know, looking at the school closures, for example, which is an important part of opening up the economy. If people have nowhere to leave their kids, they can't go back to work, especially the poorer ones. Plus, there's an impact there on education. You know, what happens consistently in South Africa is that we widen this gap between rich and poor through these policies. The rich kids are going to continue being educated by Zoom. The poor kids are not going to go to school. In order to end that, we have to persuade people that it's safe to send your children to school. And so we're trying to get those facts out. I agree entirely that, and Panda does definitely, you know, we said that the first 21 days of lockdown would cause 30 times the number of life years to be lost that lockdown would cause. And that was right at the beginning. You know, that's significantly worse now. And as I say, the first step there is to end the lockdown. I think the important thing longer term will be to make sure that this lockdown concept is taken off the table as a tool that government uses when these things happen, because for sure, there are more pandemics coming along. And actually, if you look at the Disaster Management Act, it was designed to deal with climate events. And for sure, those are coming as well. So I think it's important that option is taken off the table for one reason and one reason alone. And that is that the lockdown itself has a massive impact. And, you know, I think that this is an important part when it comes to academia as well, is that in the past, it was always good for the academics to put out big numbers. You know, when it was HIV, if government was given a number that was larger than what was actually going to happen, all it meant is that they went out and spent more money than they necessarily wanted to spend. But the net impact was a better healthcare system than government perhaps would have wanted. It didn't have a negative impact. And so I'm not sure that paradigm of being in a situation where a big number that you put out could actually cost lives is one that they've necessarily adapted to. I think that's long-term our goal.
Shane, before we let you go, Dorian Wrigley's got a question. He says, could Panda please comment on whether their estimates include the excess mortality rates, i.e. it is believed that we are significantly under-capturing actual COVID infections and deaths?
There's a paper that we put out on our website on Saturday that answers the excess deaths question. So I think the best would be to go and read that. But, you know, be careful about how some of the reporting is done. For example, in South Africa, our population register is kept by Home Affairs. When somebody dies, a member of the family goes and reports the death either at Home Affairs or at SAPS. And ultimately, whatever data is captured works its way back to Home Affairs, who then updates the register. If you can't go to those places because you're locked down, you can't report the death. So if you look at our just diseases during the lockdown, our mortality dropped below what was expected. There were fewer people dying of diseases during lockdown. Now, that's not possible. Of course, the people who had HIV didn't stop dying just because it was locked down. What was happening is they weren't able to report those deaths to Home Affairs, and Home Affairs wasn't able to record them. So what you must expect in that situation is that when you ease the lockdown, all of those people who died during the lockdown, those deaths are going to be reported, and they're recorded at the time that they were reported. So suddenly you have a spike now in excess deaths. But in order to work that out, it is a much more complex calculation that will be required. If you do that outcome, I mean, I agree that we're going to have excess deaths here, but the excess deaths are being caused by lockdown and the policies of lockdown, not by COVID-19. Of course, some of them will say, well, COVID-19 caused the lockdown, therefore those deaths are also COVID deaths. But I think that's not a correct analysis. You know, the lockdown wasn't a necessity. It was an option, which was sold to us on the basis of preparing our healthcare system.
Shane Cricker, a director of Worksmans and a member of Panda. And Panda have got some pretty smart minds, as you've heard from Shane today, who are having a different approach, a different look at the system.